Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, featuring fresh-cut flowers and bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black groundcloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays, at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.
Nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a bit. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes?
And welcome to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. With me today, from Juneau, we have Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Mindy, on an incredibly nice day after the buckets of rain that we've had earlier this week.
That's right. It definitely was coming down in buckets. But we had some nice weather over the weekend to do some gardening outside. Wasn't
yes,
too bad.
It's been great. I mean, that was good. And the Mendenhall River is roaring along as high as I've seen it in quite a while. But luckily I live up on a hill, well, good distance away from that. And we're pulling weeds in the garden, which is, of course, an ongoing battle. And there's apples around me, and we just tasted a good one. And it's gardening time. And there's lots of ripe tomatoes in the greenhouse, too.
Ooh, great, great. So speaking of, you said you're eating some apples. And so
yes,
fruit is
yep.
Fruit is becoming ripe. How does one know if their fruit is ripe on their trees?
Well, tasting, of course. Certainly we can look at them and say, okay, you know, size matters. You know, this year the size is quite good. They have grown well with all the sunshine and other things. But color makes a difference, too. And like yellow transparent, we've already made, over the past 2 weeks, we've made 10 apple pies. My neighbor's tree. I've given away a bucket and a half of apples, and there's probably still several buckets waiting on there. And they are already to the point of being ready for applesauce because they are ripe and they're falling off the tree. So, and they turn color from being solid, fairly dark green, and being quite tart, which is really the perfect stage for apple pie making. And the nice thing with those is most of these apples we grow, actually, that we can slice them. We don't have to peel them. We can slice them right into the pie shells, add cinnamon, sugar, nutmeg, and whatever else, and bake quickly and get out the ice cream. But so tasting them, certainly they want to be tart. Sometimes if we try some of these apples too early, they'll actually be kind of starchy or astringent until they lose that and then gradually start making some sugar content in them. And that's kind of dependent on, I mean, more sunshine is better, of course, for that, along with the color. But I've got one tree, it's called William's Pride here beside me in the garden. And that one, it's funny, too, the bears know also. The bears taste them. And there's an apple here hanging with tooth marks on it. I mean, the bear tasted this apple and left it because it isn't ripe enough for their taste.
Wow.
And I've even found apples where literally there is half of an apple there. The bear gently bites it, takes half of it off, leaves it on the stem, and walks on.
And if it were ripe, there would be none left?
Better than the alternative of getting up in the tree and destroying the apple tree.
Right. So, yeah, if they were ripe, would there not be any left? Would the bear just eat them all? Have you had that happen?
Pretty much, yeah. Not to mention the tree would have broken branches and worse.
Mm-hmm.
There was a porcupine got up into one of them. That porcupine has now been I didn't autopsy it that carefully. That one has been removed from the gene pool. They don't do quite as much damage as the bears do,
mm-hmm.
But still, they're an ongoing issue around here, and luckily, they haven't gotten into the raspberries and the blackberries, which are starting to ripen also. So. Again, flavor on those. Kiwis are something that they're already at full size on my trees, the hardy kiwis. Normally, they would be ripe around mid-September. I was hoping to bring some to Petersburg tomorrow, but they really don't have flavor yet. They might be usable. They're very tart. And, again, they're a little bit on the astringent side, too. So I'll bet another week, and those will be ready for making pies with those. And then they will soften. When they first, you know, it's kind of like squeezing tomatoes. If we can squeeze them a little bit while they're still hanging, that means they're ripe and need to be picked immediately, because when they get a little bit more ripe, they just fall off. I mean, if the wind blows or trees get shaken or something, they fall off, and then the birds and the slugs eat them on the ground. So you really do need to pick them. So once you get the first few ripe ones, then most of them can be picked to be made into jam or pies or whatever, or eaten straight away.
Okay. What else do you have growing for fruit, Ed, that is ripening about now? You've got some berries. You've got your kiwi.
Yeah.
What about...
The currants are all ripe. They're ready for picking now. Certainly red currants, black currants. We have friends who have white currants, which are kind of a funny-looking translucent berry. Good flavor, although I think the red currants have better flavor than the white ones. And the black currants have a different, more of a musky flavor to those, but again, once they're cooked, made into jelly or jam or juices are great. Gooseberries, also, that's another one that, if you've got the old-fashioned green gooseberries, quite honestly, I don't think they ever get ripe. Though people talk about, you know, gooseberry pie and all, I'm under-impressed. But there are newer varieties, some of these that do turn red to purple. Some of the Finnish varieties called Lipa Red, and some others that have great flavor. When they ripen, turn color, some of them will actually even taste kind of like have a raspberry flavor to them. And those, we have put them in a bowl on the table and can be eaten as a table fruit, as a dessert fruit. And, again, they make great jelly, jam, or, you know, very often that will go into the pot with some of the other different kinds of fruits to make the wild berry ketchup, like the Highbush cranberry ketchup, which is a good recipe. So all of those can go into there, and if they're on the tart side, some tart, some sweet, it makes a good mix of flavors in that recipe.
Okay. All right. Are you going to bring some information about berries and that when you come this weekend, Ed?
I do have a handout that I've put together, a spreadsheet, and that I can bring some copies along with me. I'm going to be bringing blackberries tomorrow morning before I get on the plane. I'm going to be picking blackberries here, so I'm going to bring some of those. And tomatoes, which are they're kind of, botanically speaking, they're a berry, although the court case way back when said that they are supposedly not a fruit but rather a vegetable. It's a fine point. Some of these tomatoes are so sweet, there's no doubt they're fruits. It's obvious they're fruits.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some great tomatoes ripening in the greenhouse, but there are some issues in the greenhouse that we're having. I mean, other than my greenhouse has stayed nice and dry, with the doors have been open all summer long, but I have both aphids and spider mites, unfortunately, they're on the cucumbers. They haven't gotten onto the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the aphids, I'm noticing right out on the tips of the tendrils. You see the little green, tiny little green bugs. Of course, they suck juices of the plant. So those I'm pretty much just squeezing just squishing them, you know, good old thumb and forefinger. It's organic pest control for those. There are some of those on the leaves. And then there's also spider mites, and that's something that's I've heard from other people, and actually I've inspected them in a couple folks' places. Spider mites show, if you notice, very fine webbing, like between the leaves and the stems. I mean, it's much finer than standard spider webs. This is really fine stuff, and it's almost it's extremely difficult to see the mites themselves. They're very, very tiny. Even I got out my microscope and put a couple leaves underneath it, and I couldn't find any. But very often you'll see very small black droppings on the leaves. Looks like little, and there'll be these leaves gradually get yellow speckles all over them, depending on how badly infested they are. And then the edges of the leaves start to turn brown, and then the whole leaf crinkles. So for those, soap spray could work on both the aphids and spider mites. There are parasites, are predatory insects and other mites that can be bought. Like some folks use ladybugs for aphids, release them in a greenhouse, which can help. And there's predatory mites for the spider mites. Again, it takes time, though, to get them to work. Sometimes we're better off if we're willing to sacrifice plants that are infested. Just pull the plants, get them out of the greenhouse, you know, burn them, bag them, get them off and away from there so that they don't get spread around. And really, you also need to be careful. I need to be careful, even just walking through the greenhouse, so that I'm not spreading them by touching the plants, moving them from one plant to another because they're so tiny, or like when I'm tossing the leaf, you know, the bad leaves, the infested leaves, into a bucket, again, that I'm not spreading them around in my own greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
And I hope not to take them to anybody else's greenhouse either, of course. So when we're down there in Petersburg, we'll be looking. I hope to, hopefully we'll visit some greenhouses and other stuff, and we'll look for pests, we'll look for bugs and stuff, and see what we find.
Okay. So at the end of the season, when you're cleaning out the greenhouse, then you just take everything out then, Ed, and then, like you said, burn it, and then what do you do inside the greenhouse? Wipe it down with...
I haven't done any spraying of... Well, I mean, you don't... Some folks suggest using bleach, and this is more particularly for fungus issues, you know, and don't have... I'm fortunate not to have that issue, because I am leaving it very open and keeping moisture levels as low as possible in there. Bleach is really, well, it's definitely deadly to fungus, you know, and say, so if folks were wiping this stuff down, the problem is it's extremely dangerous to us.
Right.
The fumes. So, you know, if you can tolerate, you can use some vinegar. You know, vinegar will also work to kill some of that stuff off. You can mix up a separate, not together, don't put vinegar and baking soda together, but a baking soda spray, and actually spraying that on as a fungicide, at least, for cleaning out, for spraying on wood framing or aluminum, or, you know, depending on what your greenhouse is made of. Washing windows, of course, is good because they get dirty. You know, it'll let more sun in, you know, for the future. And again, and you might even consider that if you, assuming that you're not growing anything in there over the winter, even first thing in the spring before you get started with the greenhouse and planting, again, do a quick wipe down, wash down in there is also worthwhile. So cleanliness, yeah, getting the old foliage out. If you see, as I walk through every day, I mean, I'm pinching lower leaves off that are turning yellow. They go into a bucket to be disposed of. And I'm, at least with the tomatoes, as thick as they are, there's always, you know, too many tomato plants, of course. And I'm trying to open up underneath so I get air circulation under the plants. And so, again, I'm pulling out even green leaves. I'm taking off the lower parts of the plants so they can, so the air will circulate better.
Okay, if you have a question to ask Ed, you can call us here at the radio station, 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. And he'll do his best to answer any question that you might have. Any other bugs or pests we should be worried about in our greenhouses this time of the year?
Those are the main ones. I have not seen, not here, down south, yes, but I've never seen greenhouse white flies. And they look like a small, narrow-leaved white fly with kind of a green, a little bit of a greenish body. But you, that's something... Down south, if they're very much infested at all, you bump a plant. Tomatoes are typical, tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, and others. You bump the plant, and you'll get what looks like this little cloud of little white flies that come up from there. Some folks might have a problem with fungus gnats. That can be a problem even in a house, you know, in house plants and stuff, too, as are spider mites can be a problem. And the occasional thrips, too. I've got, I'm looking this morning at my basil in the house, and I see there's some thrips on it. So the basil is going to go, is going to go away. It's going to go into the outside, into the bottom of the compost bin and stuff. And thrips are a tiny little black insect, flightless, wingless insect that is, again, sucks the juices or rasps on the outer cells of the leaves. So again, you'll see these little black specks on the leaves, and I just happened to notice them today. So they've got to go. I got to get them out of there, and hope that I'm keep things clean as I can indoors too under my. And these have been under lights since back in April when I planted them.
Uh-huh.
So time
okay.
for them to go away. And start a new batch, of basil to enjoy this fall and winter indoors.
I was talking to Christine, who manages the school garden over there at the school, behind the elementary school. She said this year they purchased some ladybugs and let those loose in the greenhouse to help with some aphids. So I'll be mm-hmm. interested to see how that's been working and if we can see some.
Yeah, we'll look for them. And part of the issue,
of course,
with
the door is open a lot.
Is if you know you almost some folks will do commercial greenhouse operations may just do a regular release of ladybugs, just like every few weeks or something like that, because it's sometimes if there isn't enough food for them, if there aren't very many aphids. Then they will sneak out. I mean, they'll go out looking for food somewhere else if there's not aphids for them to feed on inside the greenhouse.
Uh-huh, okay.
And like I mentioned, there's other assorted predators, predatory insects and mites that can be used, depending on the pest that you have. And it's kind of, and you can kind of estimate, how many bugs there are, you know, whether it be per leaf or whatever, and then from that you can get an estimate of how many predatory insects you might need to order to bring them up here. The challenge is with a bunch of these that some ladybugs can be shipped pretty easily through the mail, but there's some of the other ones the companies really don't. They only want to ship them via second day air, which of course
expensive.
Oh, is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that is they are live critters, so they want to make sure that they arrive alive and hopefully hungry, ready to eat the pests.
Okay, once again, our number here, 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. Let's talk a little bit about this weekend. You're coming for a visit tomorrow, and for those of you who would like to meet Ed and ask him some questions in person, he's going to be at the market at the A&B A&S Hall from 10 until 1 o'clock on Saturday. So you want to let folks know what you're going to bring to that, Ed?
Yeah, I'm going to be bringing probably 3 or 4 different varieties of garlic. I do have some seeds, freshly harvested spinach and blue poppies. Mixed columbines from a great patch that we grew this year. There are, I've got kale that I'm bringing along. Again, we'll plant some of that out at the garden,
mm-hmm.
as well as sell some of those, probably some primrose seeds also. And then tomorrow morning, I'm going to be picking in the greenhouse and outside blackberries and tomatoes, some cucumbers, and maybe some fresh herbs and other stuff. And hopefully we're going to turn some of those into some chimichurri right there on the spot on Saturday afternoon to go with whatever else we can harvest from the garden as a tasty snack. So we'll see. And, you know, it depends on what all I can fit in a couple of boxes and a suitcase.
Okay. And so there is a workshop with Ed in the afternoon after the market. And you can, you know, they're going to be planting for fall and winter harvesting, talking about plant varieties, season extenders, also garlic. And if you'd like to sign up, you can sign up with Christine at 772-2475. Make sure you're dressed for the weather. So if it's sunny, you might need a hat and maybe some sunscreen or, you know, of course, if it's raining, bring your rain gear because you will be outside and in the greenhouse over there. And then and actually, too, if you're signing up, you might want to bring a little stool or a chair along because maybe you don't want to, you know, stand the whole time if Ed's lecturing or whatever. So to make yourself comfortable.
Hopefully this is going to be as much hands-on as
yes.
possible. I mentioned earlier about if somebody has a few clumps of perhaps some Siberian iris or daylilies or some of the early blooming primroses, if they want to bring a big clump, we could divide it right there on the spot, show you how to divide, how to replant. Some might stay in the garden. Some might go home with people who have pieces of these to spare. So that'd be something also we can do. And then we're looking forward to, I'm looking forward to some garden touring on Sunday, too.
That's right. And speaking of hands-on for the gardening workshop with Ed on Saturday, there is a lot of things that need to be done over there at that garden, so there will be a lot of hands-on. You might want to bring your gloves and, a lot of hands-on work over there can help them get ready for the fall. And then the next day is the garden tour, and that is from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. We'll be meeting at the school garden behind the elementary school. And once folks have looked around there a little bit that have never been there before, we're going to hop on the school bus with Hoopy, who is the bus driver. And we will move from garden to garden to greenhouse to greenhouse and visit with Ed, talk with the folks who live there, who are gardening, who own those gardens. You can ask questions. I'm sure Ed will have some comments. They have questions about their own gardens. And so it should be a fun time. There'll be some refreshments in between. And, should be fun. It's 2 hours of driving around the bus and looking at gardens. So we're looking forward to that. And we do have tickets for that down at Lee's Clothing, just so we have control over how many people are coming. So you can pick that up at Lee's Clothing.
One bus limit of 30 or 40 people, yeah, or whatever.
We have a one bus limit. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds like a good time.
Yeah. So very exciting. And then, Ed, we'll move on to some other gardens even after that. Once that's over, we'll take you wherever you want to go.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing gardens and greenhouses and even talk to folks about what they might want to do someday with their property. I have plenty of suggestions, and I can give you ideas for the next 5 or 10 years of gardening.
Okay. Well, we should let you get back to what you were doing so you can get ready for your weekend here and go grab your basil and get it out and all that stuff you were just talking about.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Mindy.
Well, thank you, Ed.
We'll see you Friday afternoon or evening.
Okay. Do you need a pickup at the airport then, probably?
I do. I actually have a vehicle waiting for me.
Okay.
Dave Kenzinger will be there.
Oh, that's right.
Share a vehicle.
All right. That sounds good then. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks,
okay.
Mindy.
Bye, Ed.
Bye.
And thanks to Ed Byarski for joining us on Thursdays for In the Garden. Once again, he'll be here this weekend. He'll be at the market from 10 to 1 on Saturday, hosting a community workshop with the school and community garden Saturday from 2 to 5. You can sign up with Christine at 772-2475. And then the In the Garden garden tour on Sunday from 1 to 3. And you can pick up your event ticket at Lee's Clothing. They're $15 each, and refreshments are included.
Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure. But it's nothing the homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, featuring fresh-cut flowers and bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black ground cloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.